when she hear that juggernaut crisis, she got to know a vast podcast on the mezzanine. Deflecting flies with their camisoles, podcasts blazed on through to the homeland. Shattered glass in an empty paper bag shines on the tracks as the laughing clouds part. Mammy can't stand that raccoon. Best bring it indoors and let the podcast bloom. Through the ruby red room, the roses grow through the highest noon. The podcast is the only living buffoon. Plantations in the summertime for pitchfork slaughter. Herd the sheep in for their bottled water. Mr. Ostashevsky never heard no Birmingham. Don't he remember the podcast under the boiling sun? He knew the RSS fiends don't give him a laugh. We heard him cry twice. No trouble and strife with he and his wife. Camden seems awful pushy, and Detroit's gone solo. We need more podcasts to fly with the mofos. One morning you may wake up dead. The podcast, the last thing you hear in your head. When she hear that juggernaut crisis, she gots to know a vast podcast on the mezzanine. Deflecting flies with their camisoles. Podcast blazed on through the homeland.
A thousand greetings to you, my patient listeners. 3 months after my last podcast, where I swore I would be more timely with my monthly updates, you must be questioning my ability to keep my word on deadlines. With good reason. But I've got a good excuse. A very important piece of my equipment broke, and it took me quite a while to locate a replacement. While my setup is much less professional than it was in previous episodes, many apologies for the subsequent loss in sound quality, it gets the job done. So with that behind us, I welcome you to the latest episode of this podcast, which will be updated whenever the hell I feel like it. We start off in familiar settings, the Gourmand Coffee House, the South Loop's hotspot for MySpace updating hipsters, amaretto fudge cappuccinos, and Thursday night open mic nights. While the open mic night is taking a summer-long sojourn while Columbia students are off tanning their ghostly pale complexions, I invite you to take a trip back to last April, where I closed an eventful evening down with 3 cover tunes.
Hey everyone, I'm Charlie. I'm here to sing you pop songs. This one is for my friend Ian, whose wallet just got stolen. So he's not here, because his train ticket and all his money was in his wallet. So he asked me to play some Elvis Costello, so here it is. Shine on the light, not dial, doing anything my radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the voice of reason. Give you any choice, cause you think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. I wanna bite the hand that feeds me. I wanna bite that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they'd never seen me. Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either show up or get cut out, they don't wanna hear about it. It's only inches on the reel-to-reel. And the radio's in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. Choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. Wonderful radio. Marvelous radio.
That was Radio Radio by Elvis Costello, which coincidentally was also performed at the first show the Uncontrollable Few ever played. Our principal, Mr. Carr, a.k.a. Baldy Hawn, complimented us on this selection. Perhaps it reminded him of his early days as an angry young punk. The next two songs I wrote especially for my math class last semester. Columbia students are notoriously right-brained, and as such have little interest or use for mathematics. Thus, math requirements can be fulfilled by taking a class called Math for Survival. A more honest name for the class would be Math for Fuck-Ups and Retards. We watched clips of Donald Duck in Math Magic Land and Labyrinth, played exquisite corpse and musical chairs, and appropriate final projects included prancing around to schoolhouse rock songs and making brownies with tessellation designs. For years I've written songs for projects in lieu of doing actual work. I figured that if the melody is strong enough, nobody will realize that it's just a Wikipedia article set to music. Well, the con worked again, because I got an A in the class. The first song is about polygons and has a melody that I later cannibalized to write the song Thax Douglas. The second is a throwaway pop-punk song about infinity. I've written better songs, but they're good enough for a project assigned with extremely low expectations, so enjoy them. Who knows, you might even learn something.
Sides combine. A polygon is just a shape with three or greater sides, and it can be called cyclic if on a circle the vertices lie. And if the edges are the same length, it is equilateral, and it's a convex if no angles are over 180 degrees. If it's a convex and it's cyclic and it's equilateral, then any mathematician can see. Well, it's a regular polygon for me. Triangles and quadrilaterals, and pentagons and hexagons are a breeze. But there's a name for every polygon that you could think to draw. Well, there's a heptagon and an octagon and an enneagon and a decagon and a hendecagon and a dodecagon and a tridecagon and a tetradecagon and a pentadecagon and a hexadecagon and a heptadecagon and an octadecagon and an enneadecagon and an icosagon. Oh yeah. Imagine a three-dimensional object just a floating in empty space, with congruent regular polygons comprising its every face, and the same number of faces meets at every vertices. If you're like me, you'll know there'll be a platonic solid to see. It, then you'll find that it's the same as the dice in any popular board game. There's only five that can be made, and no two are the same. There's the tetrahedron and the hexahedron and the octahedron and the dodecahedron and the icosahedron. Oh yeah. Polygon, was sitting around the house and I decided for a laugh I would find a piece of paper and start folding it into halves. According to my TI-83, if I divided enough, I'd get a zero. Taking this thought into mind, I hypothesized it would disappear, so I started folding again and again, but I realized it wouldn't vanish. I had to think of a new idea, cause my original theory was banished. I was just about to give up when I met a guy dressed in period clothes. He told me that he was a philosopher, and he introduced himself as Zeno.
And he said,
in infinity there's a paradise, if you use it as a number you fail. It's a concept, not a numbered sum, the thought is just too cumbersome. So don't go around in circles like an Ouroboros human's tail. I can give you an example, he said, as he rolled up his vintage looms. Picture being in a filled hotel with an infinite number of rooms. A man asks if there is vacancy, cause it's the only hotel in town. They say the only way to fit him in is to move the other patrons one room down. And with that setup he smiled at me and he said, this is where things get fun. The equation for this word problem is what is infinity plus one. I racked my brain for a moment or two, but then I raised my eyebrow and I guess, is the answer still infinity? And I think you know the rest.
Here we go, 2, 3, 4.
In infinity there's a paradox, so don't use it as a steady rate. It's a concept, not a numbered sum, the thought is just too cumbersome. And it goes around in circles like a zero or a figure eight. Count to infinity by one, and if you count to infinity by two, and if you count to infinity by three, which one will get there first? About this and I told the man I really don't understand. He laughed at me and he told me there's not a human alive that can. The concept of infinity is really just so vast that you can't wrap the brightest mind around it. Believe me, I've tried in the past. So I asked him, if we cannot understand, why is it relevant to me? He said the answer isn't mathematics, but it's more philosophy. You can use infinity to count from the first January to the last December. But if you try to use it in an equation, you've got to remember,
as Galileo said,
in infinity there's a paradox, not the end of the number line. It's a concept, not a number sum. The thought is just too cumbersome, and it's always gonna end up with a .9999. In infinity there's a paradise the human mind cannot comprehend. It's a concept, not a numbered sum. The thought is just too cumbersome, and if you think about it, then the song is never going to end.
You just got your hearing checked as a finale to Infinity is a Paradox. Before that, you heard Polygon. And now for a word from our chameleon-like sponsor, Metaphasa Psychozoborax.
Have you ever wanted your dreams to come true? Have you ever visited a place invented by your subconscious in its REM phase that you would like to live in forever? Well, now you can, thanks to Metafosopsychozovirax. Yes, Metafosopsychozovirax is the only pharmaceutical drug on the market capable of inducing hallucinations nearly identical to those of your dreams. Thanks to a revolutionary substance, craniocillin, that shuts down the conscious mind, Metafosopsychozovirax can turn your life into what has only been your wildest dreams. Do not drop Metafosopsychozovirax. Metafosopsychozovirax should not be applied to your forehead. Metafosopsychozovirax is not FDA approved. In fact, I'd be buggered if the FDA even knew that Metafosopsychozovirax existed in the first place. Metafosopsychozovirax has not been tested on animals, just senior citizens and children with leukemia. Metafosopsychozovirax may cause swelling, bloating, cramps, lactation, pubic lice, irrational fetishes, sudden intense hatred for Canadians, Nazi sympathy, belief that the floor is made of lava, a tendency to appear well-read on the surface, but to be revealed as a sophomoric schmuck after 5 minutes of conversation, gangrene, and possibly death. Consult the ghosts of your childhood pet before use.
My bandmate Meg is here. She just came from the Metric show, and we agreed to do a song by Metric. Is that microphone on?
Check, check, check.
Metric, check.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We used to leave the blue lights on and the walls would be.
That was a somewhat inebriated Meg joining me at the Gourmand less than an hour after rocking out at a Metric show at the Metro. Along with our erstwhile bassist John Spencer Rushing, we make up the new streamlined lineup of the Uncontrollable Few, and we will be entering the studio next month to start work on our long-anticipated second album. I'll keep you posted on the progress of recording your next favorite album, but I will drop one little mouth-watering tidbit. Our co-producer has worked on several extremely popular records, including the latest efforts by Fall Out Boy and Taking Back Sunday. Is it safe to say that we've sold out yet? I think so. To rebuild our shattered indie cred, here's a cover Meg and I did of an obscure song by the Jet Set entitled The Story of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Knock, knock. Arctic Monkeys. That's show business.
Well, I can tell by that horrendous joke that it's time to return to the Gourmand for the last song of this episode, the epic Smiths ballad, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out. It's important to note that all throughout my performance of this song, this bloke who had obviously been partaking in his fair share of Pop's Blue Ribbons kept making eyes to me, presumably attempting to psych me out. I returned his stare, making covert love to him with my cobalt gray eyes until he eventually turned away in discomfort. Imagine that mental image while you listen to this.
Take me out tonight.
take me anywhere. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. And in a darkened underpass, I thought, my God, my chance has come at last. But then a strange fear gripped me, and I just couldn't ask. Take me out tonight. Oh, take me anywhere. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Driving in your car, I never, never want to go home, because I haven't got one. Ooh, I haven't got one. Oh, oh. And if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. If a tantrum truck kills the both of us, the privilege is mine. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light that never goes out. There is a light that never goes out.
I've got a band, The Uncontrollable Few. Look us up. We've got a MySpace. I've got a solo MySpace. We're all over this great big internet. Google is your friend.
Is that it? Thanks for coming to the Gourmand Open Mic Night.
Yes, thank you for coming. Stay dry, and I'll see you next week.
That's about all the time we have for this episode. You will notice that I am not doing an hour and a half episode to make up for the 3 myths months, because I don't want to spend that much time making this, and you probably don't want to spend that much time listening. Take comfort in the fact that the next episode will be a special live episode, presented direct from my birthday party. If you're listening to this, you're invited to join the fun. It promises to be quite an evening, and I've got a few surprises up my sleeve to keep things interesting. So tune in next time, and remember, an unborn child out of wedlock is an accident waiting to happen.